This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. On the show today, we have the one and only ServiceStar Consulting's very own Mike Neal talking about how to build a frontline staff of engaged advocates. And we took a really deep dive on this one. So some fabulous takeaways here from Mike. So I hope you guys check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have a very special guest, Mr. Mike Neal from ServiceStar. Mike, how are you? Great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, Mike. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I have heard you on various podcasts in our industry. One of my favorite ones was In the Room with Todd Marksberry that I listened to. And in there, you talked about how you are an avid indoorsman. And I was just howling when you said that. I love that comment.
Yeah. 72 degrees, please. That's where I want to be. If you ever see me outside, Mike, it's because I left somewhere inside and I'm directly going to another inside place.
I love it.
So if you see me outside, it's just an accident of me going from one inside to another outside. I didn't intend it to be that way.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, great stuff. And we're all about the indoors as well here. When it gets hot, we're all about indoors for sure. Thank goodness for AC. So today, though, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We'll leave that stuff to the Weather Channel. We're going to talk about how to build a frontline staff of engaged advocates. I love this topic because your staff is one of your most powerful tools as far as advocacy goes, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me why is employee engagement so important here, especially in today's arena, as we've been through kind of the ringer, if you will, the last couple of years. Now we're looking at things through a little bit different lens.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that we've got to come to grips with really is that if we're going to create differentiation in the credit union movement, all but for a very few credit unions who are in the $8-9 billion category and higher, we're going to build it on member experience, not just the technology side of member experience, but the fact that our members can trust us. We can provide knowledgeable recommendations. And you know what? Technology is great, but it's a tool. It's a commodity. It wears out. And for most credit unions who are really trying to dominate on member experience, then if they're trying to dominate only on the technical aspects, well, guess what? Wells Fargo is going to have more people working in their IT department than most credit unions have working in the entire credit union.
You got that right.
So your tech that you're working with is probably going to be second generation compared to theirs. Mm-hmm. Heck, they may have invented a technology that you might not ever have access to. So when that happens, it's really hard to find somewhere to dominate. So if you want to dominate, where's somewhere you can dominate? Well, you can dominate on trust and transparency because a machine can't do that. And as we see, it's so much more difficult now to find those two attributes in anybody or anywhere we're doing business.
Yep.
So what a great differentiation tool. But mm-hmm. The problem is, you can't do that if you don't have, staff.
True.
Everybody's working shorthanded.
Yes.
And the staff is worn out, frustrated, and people are resigning from work and finding different types of work to do. So it really creates a challenge. But if we say, well, the heck with it then, we're just going all technology. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to be right back to square one that I just spoke about a moment ago.
Yeah.
Good luck in providing any type of differentiation. So what we've got to do is we've got to understand this is a moment in time in which we can navigate, and we must navigate to find engaged staff. Now, I will say this going into it. Somebody asked me, well, Mike, what's the number one key to having engaged staff? And it is this: hire people who have a propensity to already be engaged.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, trying to fix something that's broken is a lot harder than taking something that's fixed somewhere else and putting it in your spot. And so, now the engagement numbers are not really great. We'll talk more about that later, I'm mm-hmm. sure. But the idea is pre-employment testing is so important. You can't determine engagement by saying, what is something you enjoyed about your previous job? Tell me What are your attributes? Oh, you know, Mike, I'm a people person. Everybody says I'm a people. Who does it? Who says I'm a miserable wretch and I can't stand to be around people? Do I have the job? But pre-employment testing uncovers that, things that you'll never uncover through an interview. So it's so important, I believe, to use pre-employment testing. If anybody wants to know some that I think work, you can reach out to me directly and I'll give you some ideas and advice, some to use, maybe some not to use. Mm-hmm. But we've got to find people who have a propensity to be engaged and then slot them into our credit union. Now, we're going to have to fix some things that are broken, but that's the number one predictor of engagement, is somebody who's already engaged before you get them. Mm-hmm. And they're out there and they want to work at a place that is meaningful and relevant. They don't want to work somewhere where they're just doing a job.
Right.
People that are engaged in work, their work has to be meaningful to them, purposeful, and relevant. And wow, where would they work better than a credit union? A not-for-profit financial institution that's kind of like the financial Red Cross for society. We're the only industry, we're the only business in our industry, I should say, that actually can carry that, right? Everybody else is trying to make money for their limited shareholders. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is, what are the right things to do for our shareholders, which happen to be our members, mm-hmm. in a not-for-profit way? Now, if we can't sell that to people that are engaged, good luck sales and service culture in your credit when you can't even sell people the idea that what we do is meaningful and relevant, mm-hmm. when it is all day, every day.
How do you do that? This is just off the top of my head, based on a lot of conversations I've had with many other credit unions and other organizations as well. It's like, how do you do that in our current work environment where a lot of it is remote? And a lot of companies out there right now are struggling with their culture, something that they've built up over years up until the pandemic. And then that whole thing just kind of exploded in their face. So how do you manage that in today's remote work environment?
This is a great question, and I do get it from time to time. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is leadership? It is finding opportunity in adversity. So all I see is an opportunity in what you said. So if we have a remote workforce, now we are not limited to hiring people in a geographic area of about 25, 30 miles from our main office. We now have a search that is big as the United States of America.
Yep, yep.
So you've opened up your pool for one thing. The other thing is this, when you hire people that are engaged, you don't have to wonder about their productivity.
Good point.
Because they're engaged in the work.
Right.
Now, how do we enculturate those people into our culture? Well, it's very simple. It's mission, values, and leadership. Now, and I'm not talking about management, like, you know, you were supposed to do 60, Kathy, but you only did 50. Now you got to do, you know, 70 to average the.
Oh, gosh.
That, you know, that's fifth grade math out loud. That's not leadership. But if somebody's going to be engaged in purpose and in work that's relevant, well, it's going to have to be associated with a mission. And I think one of the things that happens is we've gotten so caught up in our operation and our audits and our deltas between expected and actual, that what we don't do is we don't talk about our mission. For example, helping our members afford life. That's one of our credit union clients, helping our members afford life.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? But guess what? It's so many credit unions I work with, and I had one this week, out of 20 managers, not one of them knew their mission statement, not one of them knew their values.
Whoa.
So what do? They lead only to the operation. Hey, you're supposed to get 50, but you only got 40. Now you got to get 60.
Yeah.
Hey, when am I going to get the 1449 form? Don't forget to fill out page 2 this time. Okay. Now, how do you make an engaged employee leave your organization? Only talk about outcomes and never talk about culture or purpose or relevance of work. So we've got to learn to lead missionally. So I guess that's one of our spoiler alerts. We've got to learn to lead into our mission, mm-hmm. and explain how what we're doing improves our ability to deliver on that mission. And when you do that, then people are engaged in their work. Those that are engaged will be passionate mm-hmm. about their work. Mm-hmm. But what we've got to do is we've got to understand we've got an opportunity to hire people all over the United States now.
Yeah.
So you expand your pool, and then we're going to have to lead differently those people because they're not working for a paycheck or benefits or because the hours work or whatever. They're looking for something different. If we don't lead that way, we'll lose them too.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find that that mindset is infectious in a good way with other staff?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think people want to appreciate and enjoy work. Most people do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, not everybody. But when you're working around an environment where the employees are engaged, what's most likely to happen? That an engaged employee becomes disengaged because they're working around people who, you know, do the minimum level of work and ask, why are we having to do this? When is it going to stop? Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen if I don't do it? And those engaged employees, what they say is, you know what? All the things they say about their organization aren't true because those people continue to work here. Yeah. So they either say, I'm going to go work somewhere else where my work will be appreciated and valued and not diminished by these people's behaviors, or they begin to retract into a level of disengagement that wasn't there before. So one of the things we've got to learn to do is coach people's behaviors, not just their outcomes. In fact, I would say this, and I do management training every week. People rarely ask me, Mike, what happens when an employee is supposed to sell 50 and they only sell 40? Now, they do ask me about that from time to time.
Right.
But what do you do with an employee that doesn't respect their coworkers? What do you do with an employee that's coming to work late every day? What do you do with an employee who doesn't do their work accurately? Mm-hmm. What do you do when an employee refuses to get along with anybody else in the staff? And the bigger problem I see is the behaviors, not the outcomes, right? Because a teller, if they're not in balance on a consistent basis, they get fired.
Yeah.
If you don't come into work on a consistent basis, you get fired.
Yeah.
You make 5,000 errors, you're going to get fired. But we have people working in departments sometimes, 10 years, 15 years. Uh-huh. Well, what are you calling up here for? We're not set up to take your calls. Now, where's your manager? And what we do is, oh, that's just Sally. She's, you know, she's a savant when it comes to the information. She's just hard to work with. Well, say that about a drive-through teller and you'd fire on the spot.
Yep.
And so it seems to me the bigger problems are the behaviors, by the way, which are completely outside the values of the credit union. What are our values? Respect, teamwork. What did I just see there in a 10-second monologue?
Yeah.
The lack of respect, lack of teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I'll explain the last just Margaret. She's just like that. She's every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, we know how many X's she's produced and Y she's produced. And if she doesn't do that, we talk to her about it. But if you're creating culture, which you have to have, you're creating engaged employees, mm-hmm. well, then you're going to have to coach to employees' behaviors when they're out of alignment with the stated core values, which takes me back to my previous point. If you don't know what your core values are, your mission statement are, well, then maybe that's part of the problem.
Of having you got a bigger problem there, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So this episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.